For WCYB Digital Radio, I'm Paul John Spaulding. Joining me is Sam White, our video producer, and Kyle Haglund, our senior audio engineer, to talk about video game industry news, including hacks and breaches. Guys, thank you both so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
So today, we wanted to talk about the metaverse. According to a recent study by Fact.mr, a leading provider of market research and competitive intelligence, according to them, the global metaverse gaming market is projected to reach a staggering $1,300 billion US dollars by the end of 2033. We double-checked this. As far as we can tell, they do mean $1,300 billion, even though the market right now is only valued at $53 billion. Well, that was 2023, not 2024, but we're still in 2024. Sam, I was hoping you could give us some context here. These numbers are just staggering. Maybe you can explain first, though, what the metaverse actually is.
Sure. So in an article from Wired, I saw the way they explain the metaverse is to, quote, mentally replace the phrase the metaverse in a sentence with cyberspace. 90% of the time, the meaning won't substantially change. That's because the term doesn't really refer to any one specific type of technology, but rather a broad and often speculative shift in how we interact with technology. It's an interesting quote there because it almost doesn't really say anything in the sense that, like, the way Meta is trying to define the metaverse is something that already exists, and they're just kind of rebranding something we already know as just this new thing that they're trying to put a spin on, more of a marketing spin.
I mean, of course, they rebranded their overarching company name, right? Because it used to just be Facebook, I believe, and that encompassed Instagram and WhatsApp. And then it became Meta, and then under there, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, Threads now as well. So even their DNA, they're trying to somehow change, maybe? I don't know.
So Paul, I think it's interesting in that Fact.mr research, that market research they did, it's defined as the global metaverse gaming market, which kind of almost goes against the idea that it's this own thing rather than it's just gaming, like it's just a video game. That's exactly what they're trying not to be. They're trying to get away from this term of gaming because they're trying to make it something more than gaming, like an entire cyberspace in a way.
Right. You're talking about Meta here.
The metaverse.
The metaverse. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Fact.mr piece is talking about gaming. They're talking about how this is a huge new revenue source potentially for the gaming industry. I was just curious if you, Sam, are even interested in metaverse gaming, whatever that even means.
I'm definitely interested in the gaming aspect of it. I mean, this is our video game podcast, after all.
True.
I think Meta is intentionally trying to veer away from that title of it just being a video game. It kind of has this identity crisis with everyone, especially with Meta Horizon Worlds. That is a game technically within the metaverse, but anyone who sees it is like, well, that is the metaverse, because that's all people have the concept of for the metaverse. They've been putting out all this material of it is this world that you kind of live in. There's going to be more games on the metaverse eventually that have entire Earth planets where you can buy land for probably cryptocurrency or some NFT island. It is interesting.
I guess what you're getting at here is the lines on, first off, what is the metaverse in terms of maybe even just Facebook Meta's definition of it. Secondly, what is the metaverse to other people? And third, what is metaverse gaming? What is a game in the metaverse? You sent me this, I mean, it was a really well done video. It was definitely meant to be funny, but it was also
Jarvis Johnson.
Yeah, Jarvis Johnson. And he did, a pretty in-depth breakdown of Meta Horizon Worlds. Now, I've never played any of that. I don't have a VR headset of any kind, but I just found it so depressing. I think there was only a couple people in there. There weren't really that many games per se in there, although I guess that in of itself is the game. And I guess that's what's so confusing. The metaverse is kind of confusing to define, is really maybe what you're getting at.
I think that's one of the huge issues Meta is running into when marketing it, because it is almost this future tech that is kind of unexplainable to someone who has no perception of what it could be until you've actually put on a VR headset and gone in this world. Now, I think the problem right now with Meta Horizon Worlds is it's kind of just doing what already exists in the marketplace, like Roblox, Fortnite, and VRChat especially. well, Fortnite and Roblox aren't VR, but they're doing this social aspect gaming where you're just kind of going to a lounge and hanging out and talking with people and meeting people. They're doing it significantly better than Horizon Worlds is doing right now, unfortunately.
And I suppose we should say VR does not always equal the metaverse, just as the metaverse does not always equal VR.
See, I don't even know. Oh. And that's the problem. Like, I'm not sure about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the feeling that a lot of people are getting, is they're not really sure what's going on. Because even after all the research I've done for this episode, I still can't clearly define what is the metaverse.
Well, Kyle, you've been pretty silent here. I do want to hear from you. But just for some context first, Meta spent $46 billion since 2021 on the metaverse, according to The Motley Fool. Are you interested in Meta's metaverse or any other metaverses when it comes to gaming specifically?
Right now, it's pretty tough because I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think it goes off what Sam was saying, where I can't really tell where VR and metaverse start. It's a very tough line, but I definitely played some VR games, which I'm pretty sure I was using the metaverse or the Meta Quest headset, and they're very cool. They're super cool games, but it does feel like, say, early Nintendo 64 game graphics. So it just feels like it's very cool because it's pulling in my other senses, but at the same time, it just feels a little behind, even though it is ahead of us because it's VR. And also, the buy-in is still pretty hefty. Like, I was looking at the top 7 VR/AR headsets, and they're still pretty chunky in price. Like, on PC Mag, it was $3,500 for the Apple one, which everybody knows of. Now the Meta Quest 2 is down to $200. The 3 is $500. The Pro is $1,000. Sony's VR is $600. Valve is $1,400. And same with Vive is $1,400. So the buy-in to get into a VR or metaverse setting is still really high. I think eventually they're going to be super affordable. Not saying $200 isn't pretty affordable already, but if Meta really wants to make this engaging world that it seems they're trying to create, I think the affordableness is going to get there eventually. Like, you know, just look at movies like Ready Player One, where the entire world is playing VR in this like dystopian society. I'm not saying that's happening in the next 10, 20, or even 100 years, but just seeing where our gaming and our everyday lives come in, because it's not just gaming. You know, people are learning on these things. I was watching videos where people are learning how to do operations. They're learning how to drive. They're learning how to fly. It really is in such an infant state right now where I really can't wait to see where it goes.
I thought it was interesting you brought up the Apple Vision Pro, because I also watched a video on that while doing research for this. I watched a video from Eddie Burback, who kind of did a review and then ended up wearing it for a week straight just to see what it felt like. Yeah. And it was interesting his perspective, because the Apple Vision Pro is meant to be augmented reality, where instead of being fully, quote unquote, in the metaverse, you're kind of in this in-between where you can access browser windows like in reality, but still being a participant of reality.
Well, I love that you brought up off something that I brought up that I'm going to come back, because people don't realize that VR, AR, and mixed reality are three totally different things that fall under an umbrella of extended reality. And we're just seeing all these names, and I honestly think so many people don't actually know what they mean.
Definitely.
I would even follow up with something else, because I would say it's just the core of, I'm sitting here listening to you guys saying, yeah, but what is the metaverse? I'm still trying to answer this question. Hey, anybody in the audience, reach out to us. Let us know if you have a better definition, because it's this struggling thing where we're naming all these different technologies and things. You're talking about doing operations in VR. Is that the metaverse? You know, there's so many other questions to raise.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the interesting parts of that video for the Apple Pro Vision was he reached a point where he had worn it for a week, and then he left his apartment and came back in and got this gut-wrenching feeling of he was expecting to see the screens in front of him. He was expecting to see like an open browser tab of YouTube when he walked into his apartment. And it's like, well, that feeling might be the future eventually. I mean, I know Apple's planning on releasing like a new pair of Ray-Bans that have kind of the Pro Vision tech in it, where you can kind of have that similar reality blending.
Augmented reality,
yeah,
perhaps.
I don't even know which one it is now.
Well, I did have a couple of related things to this, because Sam, you hinted at something before. You were talking about maybe there'll be an NFT or a crypto island. That is to say, things you can buy with crypto or get with NFTs in these now virtual worlds. And again, we're going back to fact.mr here. The incorporation of blockchain-based technologies such as cryptocurrencies and NFTs is expected to contribute to the growth of the metaverse gaming sector. Again, really linking back to gaming there. Now, this worries me because of just the abundance of crypto crime. We even have a crypto crime news feed if you want to check that out on cybercrimemagazine.com. But according to Bloomberg, a hacker swiped $63 million from blockchain-based gaming Munchables. But Cointelegraph did report later that the hacker returned the funds. That's just one example that we found pretty recently of a crypto-based game that was already hacked. We're talking about big numbers here too, $63 million. So where does that leave us when it comes to crypto and NFTs in the metaverse?
Well, it's pretty interesting because I looked into that a little bit more and it turns out that was an inside job. It was actually somebody that they hired to work on that application that was the hacker. And then I saw like after an hour conversation, they got him to give the money back, which is pretty wild. I wish it was that easy most of the time. But that actually brings me to this point, well, kind of a little bit, is how play to earn gaming is actually tremendous in India right now, which is NFT gaming. You're earning actual NFTs and crypto as you play a game. And it's becoming so big because I'm seeing that a monthly average pay from these games could be anywhere from 200 to 1,000 monthly. And that's a very average. I'm seeing also insane numbers where people are saying they're earning a couple hundred a day, but those are very, I say, rare occasions. But it's also pretty crazy because there's such a high unemployment rate in India that people are surviving off playing games. Who would have ever imagined something like that? Now someone can just play a game from their couch and earn enough to make a living. It's cool because it also is driving regulations for the NFT and crypto space, because if enough people are playing it, that kind of puts a lot of pressure on people to make certain laws around it. But we'll see. It's really exciting when not everyone in the world understands something and there's a few people that do that are just profiting tremendously off it.
I will say that's also very scary. Because like what you were saying, where VR and the metaverse is kind of in its infancy, I think blockchain technology and NFTs and crypto, that's also kind of in its infancy. It's not new in terms of the technology or the technological revolution. It's pretty new. And I think it does seem kind of crazy to combine these things together, these two infant technologies, and hope that we create something great out of it.
The $1,300 billion, I guess, would be how is it being generated? Where is it coming from? How much of it is crypto and kind of these crazy fluctuating valuations every single day? It's a daunting question, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, crypto could crash tomorrow. And that's what's so insane about crypto. It's the most volatile thing you can invest in because it just can skyrocket one day and drop down to zero the next if the right law is passed.
Well, to close out here, guys, I did want to bring up a little tidbit I found. So Snow Crash is a science fiction novel by Neal Stephenson. This was published in 1992. I got this from Wikipedia. The author coined the term metaverse as a, quote, successor to the internet. And what I found fascinating looking at this novel was it actually inspired this guy, Michael Abrash, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing, to leave Microsoft for id Software, which worked on Quake, which was something everybody knows now. And it is also something where Abrash is now moved to be the chief scientist with Oculus VR. Again, this was all I got from Wikipedia. So it's kind of interesting to see that the metaverse has been around for a long time. As a final example, Xbox Live. There were technically other online type gaming things before, I believe the Dreamcast, but Xbox Live was the first real like homogeneous, dedicated and built up software gaming over the internet thing that happened. And that was directly inspired by Snow Crash. It was a mandatory read, that book, for the Xbox development team of Xbox Live at the time. And I just found that so fascinating because we're talking about the metaverse as this kind of weird, new, crazy thing. You're saying, Sam, look at all these new technologies, which I agree with, by the way. But in a certain way, maybe the base idea goes back actually a couple decades, which I just find absolutely fascinating. So before we go, any final thoughts?
I think it's interesting that metaverse is defined as the thing like after the internet, because I think a lot of people have been defining blockchain tech as Web3, like almost like this third iteration of the internet. But also in the same way, like VR is being described as like this next step in video games, and now like the next step in like perception almost. So I guess in combining those things, we probably would have the snow crash definition of metaverse, which is like this next level where I foresee people physically mining Bitcoin in VR with actual digital pickaxes and in the crypto mines.
I don't like the future you paint, but who knows? That's why it's the future. Well, listen, Web3 is another great subject. Maybe we could talk about that in a future episode. But Kyle, Sam, as always, thank you both so much for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Paul John Spaulding. Joining me was Sam White, our video producer, and Kyle Haglund, our senior audio engineer. To follow more of our media, visit cybersecurityventures.com.